Book 2. Many claws make light orc.
They grow up so quickly, the science officer said wistfully.
Mordak adjusted the box so it was stable, climbed onto it, and peered through the grill at the top of the cell door.
She's grown, he said in a horrified voice. I wouldn't have thought it was possible.
7 feet 4 inches, the science officer said proudly. That's an extra 9 inches since yesterday. 416 pounds 3 ounces.
He smiled.
She ate her first guard this morning.
The she-goblin didn't seem to know she was being watched, which was probably just as well.
What's she doing?
Mordak whispered. The science officer joined him on the box.
Ah, that. We're not quite sure.
From where Mordak was standing, it looked like she was anointing her claws with blood, using a little tapered brush.
Fair enough.
But apparently she'd figured it out all by herself, untaught.
She puts stuff on her face as well, the science officer said. Round the jaws and the jowls and under the eyes.
Is that right?
To make them look bigger, we're guessing. Impress the enemy with your superior eyesight. Pretty advanced stuff.
We never thought of that.
She's not stupid, then.
Far from it. Frighteningly smart. In some ways. See that thing she's wearing? That was a blanket this time yesterday.
Quick work.
She's raised the hemline twice since then.
Mordak frowned. Something that size, and with brains too. He had an uncomfortable feeling that he might just be looking at the future of the goblin race. As that race's leader, with its best interests at heart, he could see it might well be no bad thing. Even so, nobody, no matter how altruistic, rejoices at the thought of being out-evolved.
I suppose we'd better let her out at some point, he said.
The monster raised its arm to tuck its hair behind its ear. The forearm was thicker than Mordak's thigh.
No rush, the science officer said.
What's she doing now?
She'd got hold of a scrap of metal from somewhere, a bit of the unfortunate guard's armour probably, and was rubbing it industriously against the sandstone blocks of the cell wall. Every now and again she would stop and peer at it, then back to work again.
I think she's polishing it, the science officer said.
What for?
I don't know. Maybe to make a mirror.
Mordak was impressed. With a mirror, you could keep watch on the cell door, the only point of entry for a potential enemy, even when you were lying down or facing the other way. Intuitive tactical thinking, something his soldiers conspicuously lacked. Size, muscle, and brains. Just think what could be achieved with an army of these creatures. King Drain wouldn't stand a chance. Nor would the elves, let alone the humans. The thought should have elated him. He paused for a moment, wondering why it hadn't.
Has anyone tried talking to her yet?
No. Why?
Why indeed? His predecessor on the Iron Throne wouldn't have bothered, that was for sure. In his view, the only vocabulary a servant of the Dark Cause needed was yes, boss, and charge.
Mordak, of course, saw things differently. He'd spent a lifetime watching the armies of evil getting beaten into a cocked hat by vastly inferior forces, snatching defeat out of the jaws of victory at the last possible moment. "This is all wrong," he'd said to himself, and from that epiphany, new evil had been born. Learn from your enemies. Adapt their winning ways. Figure out the reasons for their success and see if you can't use a few of them yourself. While staying 100% committed to the values of the Dark Cause, needless to say. Oh yes, absolutely. All well and good, so long as things stayed as they were, with the enemy still superior in intelligence and technology. But what if that no longer applied? What if he was looking at the ultimate game changer? A new weapon that would give evil a sporting chance not just to live to fight another day, but actually prevail. Of course, they'd said the same thing when Azog III issued his armies with scythe-wheeled chariots 5 centuries ago. And all that goblin kind had gained from that was a series of giant hops forward in leg armour and artificial limb technology. If there was a way of wasting a shining new opportunity, trust the goblins to find it. But, he took another peek through the window, something like that. There was no way of knowing where it would lead to. Maybe even victory. "Oh, look," said the science officer. "She's brushing her teeth with a bit of stick." Mordak looked.
"It'll take her forever to get them sharp that way."
"Yes, but she hasn't got a proper grindstone. I call that initiative."
"That's not stick. It's shin."
"Whatever."
"Because," Mordak reflected, "what's the defining experience of evil, taken as a whole throughout 3 ages of recorded history?
It loses, that's what. It gets hammered. It gets the stuffing bashed out of it every single time. A Dark Lord rises for a while, everything goes swimmingly, vast swathes of territory fall under the shadow, and then a handful of pointy ears, or a bunch of uppity humans, or even a solitary furry toad knee-high hooligan stops us dead in our tracks, and it's straight back to square one. Do not pass go, do not collect 200 zlotl. A wise man, observing this trend, decides not to fight it. He rolls with it instead. He doesn't get his hopes up. He climbs slowly up the ladder and puts a nice soft cushion under the tail of the snake. He compromises. He's a realist. And after a while, he gets to thinking, maybe evil always loses because that's how it's meant to be, because evil shouldn't win, because evil is bad. And following that silvery snail trail of logic to where it seems to want to go, maybe the job of the leader of evil is to make sure it keeps happening that way. He can do it by overreaching himself, or turning on his allies by unbelievable stupidity, a firm favourite, that one. Or he can do it on purpose, deliberately, controlled failure, designed to reduce the impact of defeat and keep collateral damage to an acceptable minimum. That, years ago, had been Mordak's road to Domashkush moment. To achieve victory, first you have to define what you mean by it. New evil. If you can lose as advantageously as possible, you've won. There was this little voice in the back of his head. It had a sort of whiny, bleaty tone, and it sounded distinctly worried.
Perish the thought, it was saying. We've been through all this, we decided. Evil isn't meant to win, see above. Victory, definition of. And if you think this, or anything, is going to make the slightest bit of difference, you're just another dumbass evil overlord, with dark matter for brains. That thing in there is basically just a ring of power, 1 to 2. It'll take you so far, and then dump you in the brown and sticky. And the elves will sing snide songs about your downfall, until all the realms are sundered.
You want that? Really?
Maybe.
But the little voice Mordak couldn't help but feel doth protest too much. After all, he didn't have to make his mind up right away. Let the project run a bit longer, see what we come up with, and then decide.
Well? Said the science officer.
Mordak looked at him.
Well, what?
What do you think? Do we carry on and let her get absolutely huge, or...
He did the familiar finger-across-throat gesture.
Up to you.
Mordak took a moment, but he didn't have to think too hard. You don't have to when you already know the answer.
I think she's kind of cute, he said.
You do?
Oh, yes. A terrible cutie is born. Get on with it, and don't let her eat too many guards. It'll stunt her growth.